We are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart and co-host, Joe De Leon. How exhausted are you through 3 days? Because I am absolutely exhausted.
Dude, that was what I was going to say at the jump of the show. I can't even keep up with all the comments that have come out of SEC spring meetings. Look, I've made this very clear. I have no affiliation for a conference, for who I root for. I try to be as agnostic as possible, and I think that it's easy because I'm a Notre Dame fan. But we were not getting the same level of headlines coming out of Big Ten spring meetings, man. I can only imagine what SEC media days are going to be like when that comes around this year. If this is during spring meetings, the amount of comments from coaches, projections on what's going to happen with the college football playoff expansion, and then the fact that Ross Dellinger comes out with this piece on, I know I'm kind of headlining all the topics we're getting to today, but Ross Dellinger's piece today on the legislation is also groundbreaking. Good on him to report that, because he's got something that everybody's been fighting to figure out what the heck is going to be in this bill.
All right. Can I give you a conspiracy theory right off the top of the show?
Go ahead.
Last week, Greg Sankey gave to CBS's own Brandon Marcello, and I'm paraphrasing, but gave to Brandon Marcello, yeah, we very well could have a decision this upcoming week. At least it's how he intended it to come off, about a 2014 playoff. So what did the media, from a national perspective, how did they react to Brandon Marcello's piece? Everybody went to Destin. Everybody's there. And so when you come out day one and say, guys, why are y'all blowing this out of proportion? You're the reason it got blown out of proportion. But it also has put all of the eyes on what conference? The SEC. And I think in Sankey's mind, the more press that's out there about the SEC, it shows, hey, man, see, everybody's reporting on us. No one really reported on the Big Ten media days. Everybody wants to know what we think. Why aren't they doing that to the Big Ten? I'm not saying I agree with his logic, but you're going to have to convince me how he walked out there last week and told Brandon Marcello what he told him, only to walk everything back today and yesterday and the day before that. Why is that? I think in his own little world, Sankey just likes to come out here and put all eyes on him when he literally has said nothing. He was asked yesterday about the reprimand of not only the NCAA's to Pete Golding, but to Lane Kiffin. And he goes, I'm not making a statement on Lane Kiffin right now. Why not? Why don't you have a spine and tell the man to his face? No, you didn't want to have to answer the questions. By the way, NAACP, the Black Caucus, through Ross Dellinger today, did you see what they said? They came out and said, "We, until the SEC backs our voting rights bill and Voting Rights Act, we are disbanding the SEC and telling all athletes not to go. Meanwhile, you're going to find a coach for saying that he had issues while at Ole Miss for social injustice. It's a PR nightmare. I am getting to a point right now with Greg Sankey. I'm done. Joe, every time he opens his mouth, I get to a place where I'm like, brother, you said something completely else last week. You won't stand up. If you're going to find the man, find the man. And then when you're asked about Pete Golding and you're asked about Clemson and you asked about all that situation, no comment. So wait, you're mad when it happens inside the conference, but the NCAA is investigating a team that made it to the Final Four and you have nothing to say. Joe, I'm wiping my hands. I'm wiping my hands of it because it gets me like, Joe, am I not, is someone who covers it for LSU or as an LSU, how do I not freak out on this guy? This is insane. Lastly, 80% of catchers last week in the ABS system overruled your umpires.
Well, that I got nothing to add to that. I'm not paying attention to college baseball.
But I'm just saying, everybody's been bitching at you for all these problems. Do you see now?
I'm sorry. I disagree with you on this. I think that Sankey has been the only level-headed and thoughtful speaker on a lot of major issues in college athletics.
What has he done?
Blake, he's the only one who's actually putting up a legitimate fight for the college football playoff to stay at 12. He's the only person who is doing that. He's the only one who's actually putting up the good fight for the good of the sport. So I'm going to support that. I'm going to back that. Yeah, I think that a lot of the things that he has done and that he has said since he has taken over as the SEC commissioner, I support a lot of his actions. I mean, the way that he handled the conference's schedule during COVID was another great example of him handling a lot of turmoil effectively. Like, I think that there's a lot of things going on right now, and it's hard for us to keep track of what his stance is on everything. The Lane Kiffin thing, I'll agree with you that where do you sit on it? Do you actually think that you have to reprimand him or not? It seems like that they're leaning in the opposite direction because I don't understand what there is to reprimand. It's not like he publicly took like an egregious shot at Ole Miss. He backtracked his statement after the fact. I don't think that there's anything that needs to even happen there. And in terms of the Pete Golding tampering comments, I didn't see his comments, but why would he chime in on that? Why would he call out one of his own institutions?
Because you put out statements for LSU when the College Sports Commission had a bogus claim about a less than $600 fine or $600 NIL deal. You'll put a statement out for that, but you won't put a statement out.
What was the statement that he put out?
We back the College Sports Commission and their investigations. Oh, really? Now you want to go away from them?
The CSC is not the ones that are investigating Ole Miss.
No, but it's still an enforcement body that's going after one of your schools. My thing with you here is what happens when he caves? Because he also said he didn't want to go from 4 to 12. You're at 12. He also said he didn't want to go to 12 to 16, and then he wanted to go to 16 before the wool got pulled over his eyes. Now the whole talk all week is that, well, we're going to have a decision in the fall about 24, and what's going to happen when he caves?
I don't think that he's going to cave, because if he's going to cave, he would have already done it. And I think that what I said on Monday's show stands, that he understands that there is separation amongst the athletic directors and the coaches, and he's trying to get everybody on the same page. I think that there is a lot of time for him to put in the work in order for this to stick and to stay at 12. I really do think that there is a capability for him.
His legacy legitimately depends on it.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does.
Well, I have nothing for him and Petitti at the current moment. I really don't. Because
I support him more than I support Petitti, because I think that Petitti just jumps into a conclusion based on what he's being told to do by his broadcasting partners and the money that's being handed to him.
Completely agree with that. But two things can be true at once. Joe, you brought up COVID. Fair. That was 6 years ago. And let me tell you the thing that pisses me off the most, okay? The thing that pisses me off the most, speaking of the College Sports Commission, you have been bitching, moaning, and complaining for 4 years, 4 years plus, and about we need legislation. We need legislation. We need legislation. Well, you got it today, and we're about to open it up with that. You got it. A 111-page document that came out from Cantwell and Senator Ted Cruz. Feinbaum just aired. And Greg Sankey is on there saying, and I quote, "I haven't been able to read the whole bill. I don't want to say I like it, but there are problems in it." So wait a minute. You have been begging Ted Cruz. He was on Feinbaum. He just said it.
No. Finish what you're saying, though. Finish what you're saying.
He's been begging for it. But literally yesterday, you talked about having an SEC collective bargaining agreement so that you can enforce inside your own league. Why didn't you do that from the beginning? Why didn't you take the stand and make a move in the beginning when you were asking for legislation on NIL and the portal and having your own set of rules and own collective bargaining agreement? That's what Ross is talking about.
I'm confused. What are you asking Sankey to do? I'm really confused by what you're getting at.
You've been bitching for 4 years and saying that you needed the government to intervene. Meanwhile, when the government intervenes, the day that they intervene, legitimately intervene, you come out the day before and saying, yeah, we're just going to go ahead and break away from all of this and enforce our own rules.
But he hasn't, they haven't directly stated that they're planning to break away and that they would set their own rules. It was floated.
And what have we learned about them talking about stuff for 4 days? If they're talking about this much, they're planning and moving into that action. You and I both, we've been here too long to know if they're going to be talking about it for this long, there's probably some truth to what he's trying to do.
Okay, but this is the whole point of spring meetings, is in order for them to talk through potential outcomes. I think that, and Sankey, I actually credit that Sankey stated this, and that he said when asked about the legislation and also why he and Petitti have not publicly backed it like Jim Phillips and Brett Yormark have, is that he hasn't read it and he does not think it, we didn't have information on this until today. Nobody in college athletics had information on this until today. So he did not feel that it was appropriate to back something that he hadn't seen, which I think is the correct thing to do. You shouldn't just blindly support something without having read and analyzed and deeply dug into the ramifications that are behind it. I think that they have to come to the table, Blake, and they have to have the option on the table of separating and doing their own thing, of governing themselves, because there has not been an effective action to have some sort of national protection for the NCAA. They have not done an effective enough job of governing college athletics. So you at least need to have the contingency plan on the table. I think that if this goes through, it removes that. That's not going to happen. That stuff would be completely taken off the table, and I would bet that the SEC and Greg Sankey would back it, because a lot of the concepts that are put in here are things that the SEC would want to support.
Then why not do it 3 years ago? Why now?
I think that would have been rash. I think that would have been incredibly rash to just jump to that and to just do that.
Okay. Well, then what about a year ago when you got sued and everybody was getting sued? When you went on Capitol Hill 3 months ago and begged and pleaded that legislation be passed, why now? So you mean drastically things changed in less than 90 days? The $100 million thing with the CSC is something that me and you talked about 5 months ago, by the way. This isn't the first time that this report has been out here. So I got to be completely real with you. I think you talked about he didn't want to go out there and back something. You're right. But you know what you also can do? You also can go out there and be negative about it, which is exactly what he just did on Feinbaum, saying that there's problems with the bill. I thought you didn't read it.
I'm sure that he got the run of it. What time has he had to, first of all, he has not had time to effectively evaluate and read it. I'm sure that he has found problems that he doesn't support with it, which there's a glaring one with the pooling of media rights, that he's not going to support that. Right. And nor do I think that he and Petitti, they have no... there's no benefit for them supporting pooling of media rights, but
none.
Like, I think that,
and that's why your Mark backed it.
Yes. I think that at the end of the day, Blake, he has always been a commissioner that does not just jump to a decision. And I support that. That is how decision makers in any sport and at the college level, that's how they should operate. They should not just jump to a decision. They should just not jump to separate. I think that this is something that's been brewing. But if they get legislation, it's going to prevent that from being a possibility for the SEC to do. I think that they're just putting this on the table because they understand, Blake, that they hold enormous power in being able to state, if we wanted to walk away, we could. So whatever is being presented has to be in our best interests. It has to have the SEC's best interests. Otherwise, we are not going to be a part of this. They control a lot of power in the situation. They have always been able to. And I criticized him previously for saying, we'll just take our ball and go home. And I don't think that that's the right approach. Because Blake, as we stated when we've talked about this time and time again, if the SEC chose to operate on its own, that's not good for the sport. Sankey has even said that. Well, they have the capability to do it. If they just go and do their own thing, it destroys college football's tradition and history as a whole. We're creating a completely new thing. It's a completely different thing. It's a completely different league. It's not college football anymore. It's SEC football.
But so I think that about enforcement of the NIL and the transfer portal that has absolutely, and College Sports Commission, which has absolutely nothing to do with scheduling games. His thought and process is about taking their ball and getting away from the College Sports Commission because $75 million of theirs is being tied up. And to be completely honest with you, you want to hear some of the rumors flying around SEC Media Days? Why does the SEC have more money that's being held than the Big Ten? That's the real thing that's going on here, if we're going to be completely blunt. So the bottom line is, yes, you're backing him because you believe that he's got a stance. But if you can't go positive on a bill, sure, you're not going to agree with everything, the pulling of rights, which was optional. They left it optional. They didn't say you had to do it. But at the same time, you could have done this 2 years ago when all shit broke loose. When the Nico Iamalava thing completely broke loose, he could have came out and said, enough is enough. I'm going to stand out here in front and say, we are going to do and enforce our own rules. And if you don't like it, tough titty says the kitty.
I think that would have been an immature and, again, a rash decision to just straight up say, we don't like how this is going, so we're just going to do our own thing, screw everybody else. I think that he collaboratively wanted to try and fix the sport. I think that that's one of the reasons why I support him, is that for the most part, he has tried to collaboratively try and fix the sport. It was a reason why he didn't like Kevin Warren.
What? Where? Where?
What do you mean, where?
Joe, everything that he's done has failed the last 4 years. Everything.
That's not true. What has failed?
One.
I'm throwing it back at you. What has failed? What specifically has failed?
Okay, you said you talked about what's best for the SEC's interest. The best thing for the SEC interest is not going to 9 conference games when 13 out of 15 were in the top 15 of strength of schedule. That's not in their best interest. $5 million per team. You know what else is not in the best interest of the SEC? Making them play a P4 opponent in the beginning of the year. That's also what the Big Ten does not have in their own guidelines for them to do. You know how I know? Indiana doesn't have to do it. Oregon doesn't have to do it. So the bottom line is, I keep hearing that he's doing the best thing that's in the SEC's interest. Oh, really? 9 conference games and making your schedule tougher is not getting more teams into the playoffs. It just simply is not going to. So that is not in the best interest of the SEC, not now, not ever. We as fans like it because it's more competitive games. But then if you say it's more competitive games, then you completely devalue the 2014 playoff because it won't be. Joe, he's literally talking about a 2014 playoff as if more teams will get in and it will be better for the sport if we go that direction. That's where he kind of leaned today. But if you talk about the best thing for the SEC, it wasn't going to 8 conference games or 9 conference games, and it's not demanding that they play another P4 opponent when the biggest rival that you have in the North doesn't have to do it. That's not in their best interest.
But at the end, I'm not talking this from the lens of what his actions are in the best interest of the SEC. Like, at the end of the day, in order for college athletics just in general to improve and to be better, somebody needs to take the charge. Somebody needs to take the charge and try to actually have an intention to make things better. I think that the SEC, with the history that they have, should absolutely take pride in playing a more competitive schedule. I think they that naturally, if you, but no, I understand that, Blake. I understand that they do. They already play a tough schedule in the SEC. I'm not denying that. But Blake, if you're the SEC, you should not be just looking at the Big Ten and the ACC and the Big 12 and thinking, well, they're doing it, so we should too. Why not setting the example? Why not setting the example of trying to lead and say, we're going to continue to play difficult matchups and prove on the field that we are the better league? If you're going to play Power 4 opponents, use that as an opportunity to prove that you can beat those Power 4
opponents. You know why? Because I agree with what Lane Kiffin said. If Indiana has to play 3 cupcakes in the beginning of the season and they play some not so difficult teams in their own conference. The play count is completely different between Ole Miss and Indiana. Newsflash, it was. It was. So again, when you're playing against tougher opponents, sure, have pride, but one team's going to be more beat to shit than the other.
But at the end of the day, there should be, you have to take the step of playing harder schedules to then be able to turn to the College Football Playoff Selection Committee and say, you need to aggressively and you need to continue to adjust your decision-making process because it has been flawed. It's been flawed in the past. With this, to be very clear here, I am not saying the circumstance of a Texas losing to a 4-8 football team should automatically get them in. But at the end of the day, when you have teams within the SEC, if they go 9-3 and theoretically a three-loss team, their three losses are to ranked opponents. One is to a Power 4 opponent in another conference that is hovering around being ranked or is ranked. That should count more than an 11-1 team in the ACC that does not face as many ranked opponents. There needs to be someone who leads the charge. We're going backwards. We should not look at the philosophy of the Big Ten and think that's what everybody should be doing. No AD or coach in the SEC should think that is what we need to do. Just because it has produced results in the short term does not mean coaches and athletic directors should adhere to it currently. And quite frankly, the whole bit with this, you were telling me pre-show that you don't think $5 million means much, but adding $5 million per school for scheduling another in-conference opponent, I think is meaningful at the current moment. And I think that it's meaningful in the future, the next time that they negotiate their media rights deal. I think that they're going to be able to ask for even more money. I will tune in 10 times out of 10 and watch an SEC on SEC game. I'm glad that there's another game. And I am the typical college football viewer that thinks that way.
And yet that's not what's best for the conference. More money does not mean what's best. Sorry, it doesn't. It simply doesn't.
I think it's one of the rare circumstances that it does.
$5 million doesn't help you when you're going up against four ranked opponents in a month.
Not every SEC schedule is four ranked opponents in a month.
Okay, I can name two of them right off the top of my head. And LSU and Texas in the month of October and going into November. So now what?
Checking doesn't. I don't know the Big Ten.
They don't play four. They don't play four in a row. And guess what? We just talked about Penn State on Monday. Guess who they don't play? Guess who they don't play? Oregon, Indiana, ranked teams. Name a team in the SEC that doesn't have to go through that. Please. $5 million in money doesn't equate what's best for the conference. 5 times 16 sounds great. You're going to get another $40 million as a conference to spread around to your teams. Sounds good. However, understand that it's, what, 16? Yeah.
55.
$75 million. So an extra $75 million does
$80 million.
Whatever it is. Who gives a shit? No, who gives a shit? Regardless of that, what are we doing? More money has gotten us in the problem of the playoff. It has. All right. You ready? We got to get to.
Okay. Well, yeah, we kind of just had our SEC versus Big Ten discussion that we were going to get to. Do you want to get to the legislation thing?
We've been trying to do this for 2 months, and we always had to punt on it for whatever stupid reason. Nevertheless, we're live. Everyone, do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Subscribe down below if you're on YouTube. Hit that retweet if you're on 247 or 24/7's Twitter page. You can also go over to 24/7 Sports Today. Use the promo code RJ60 at checkout. You'll get 60% off of your annual VIP membership today. By using that code for Ruffino and Joe, you get that VIP access. Again, the promo code is RJ60 at checkout. That way they know that Blake and Joe sent you on by. All right. Joe, monumental news coming out of the college sports world. As Ross Dellinger is reporting, the Senate legislation that is going through Senator Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell. To read off some of the big headlines that is coming into what could be a new legislation bill for college athletics, There's a one-time transfer rule. Unless a head coach leaves, you can transfer again. 5 years to play five, a hard cap, which we'll get to a little bit. Antitrust for NCAA and the College Sports Commission. The Lane Kiffin rule, because, of course, they just had to talk about the man. The Lane Kiffin rule and an option to pull TV rights for all of the conferences, and also an additional no Super League. Joe, there's a lot to break down here. I'm going to let you kick off to where you want to start. What are your thoughts on the bill that potentially could be passed? Will it even be passed is a completely different conversation. However, what are your thoughts on the legislation that is being put forth today?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of bones for important things that we've complained about, discussed, yelled about, that is hurting college football. And I think that this is absolutely the first step in resolving a lot of those major issues. I think that first and foremost, having legitimate power behind the CSC and the NCAA in order to be able to enforce rules is absolutely the best for the sport. I think that third-party NIL deals that are utilized as an inducement are a problem. I think that once the salary cap is put into place and there is a restrictive there's restrictions on paying attention to if it's actually being met or not, is going to be a lot better for roster building and also sustainability, so that schools are just not rampantly paying money and have to rely on donors to fund their athletic programs. I also really think that the Lane Kiffin rule is a good concept. The NFL has it. You can't communicate with a coach until their season is done.
Pause. Does it mean they can't communicate, or does that mean that
you can't hire?
It says he can't leave until the season is over. It didn't say hire. It said he can't leave.
I would assume that the way that would be is that you can't, because it would probably mirror what the NFL does, where Kubiak, for example, was hired as the head coach for the Raiders. He was not officially hired until after the Super Bowl. If I recall correctly, he did interview multiple times and was a part of that process leading up to the Super Bowl. But once the season ended, he was then able to make that transition. I would assume that they would be allowed to interview, but they would not be able to formally announce a decision until after the season is over. So I think that just in general, that concept has been a problem across the board, and it has completely killed the postseason. We talk about Lane Kiffin, but what about both Oregon coordinators completely killing their competitive capabilities against Indiana? That was a serious, serious issue. Like, I also think that one key aspect with this brought up that it remains neutral on athlete employment and leaves the possibility for collective bargaining. I think that is huge, because once all these things happen, it would then allow for a future where there could be some sort of collective bargaining agreement, which I have said time and time again would be best for the sport. But overall, I think that this is the right step forward. I'm feeling optimistic that if this is what's in the bill, that college sports could be a little bit more tame and be a little bit more controlled.
Okay. Here's where I sit. Don't yell at me. I can't take being yelled at. Okay. Why do I feel like, before I get into things I like and don't like, Joe, I don't know if this is getting passed. They need 60 votes. To be completely blunt with you, based off of some of the political stuff that's out there that got reposted today, I don't know if this is getting passed. The Black Caucus came out today and said, as long as the SEC remains silent on the Rights Act, Voting Rights Act, we are going to disband the SEC. And since the SEC may or may not back it, that's why I really think Sankey didn't say anything today, was because of what the Black Caucus came out and stated. I don't want to get political here. However, I got to admit something. I don't think that this is going to pass. So as I'm saying that, do you know what I wish that would have happened here? Can we vote on thing by thing? Like, I wish there wasn't a whole bill. Like, I wish that we could take individualized stuff from here and pass it. That way that if you have disagreements, we can already start getting guardrails in place. Here would have been my thought. You could have made five different bills on this and taken the 111 pages and split them up, because I think everybody's going to agree on 5-on-5. We've kind of already gotten that. Like, that's pretty much unanimously okay with. The one-time transfer rule, even though there's a lot of disagreements on how that is, it seems as if that a lot of people agree with that. However, the SEC is going to push like hell. I don't know if you saw some of these reports. The SEC is going to fight like hell along with the Big Ten about not pulling media rights. I understand that it's optional. I don't think they even want that in there. With that part being in there as well, Joe, you're going to have to find some guardrails. Like the antitrust thing and enforcement thing for the College Sports Commission and the NCAA has to get passed. Regardless of what we think about the NCAA at the current moment, this has got to be passed. I wish it would have been all separated. I just don't know if this has the votes. I don't really necessarily like the one-time transfer rule. I don't. I don't think that you can limit people to where they go. I know that opens up a can of worms. I understand the limitations of that, but I do wonder if you're just able to get the antitrust in place for the NCAA to investigate along with the antitrust for the College Sports Commission, if it wouldn't slow down player movement to start off with. With all of that being said, there are a lot of things that I like in here. I like the 5-for-5. You can't have the Indiana thing. I love the Lane Kiffin rule to some extent. However, I also don't like it. You know why I don't like it? Because it's scheduled so messed up. So you can put the Lane Kiffin rule in its place here, but this completely blows the team up if they're trying to, like, let me ask you an example. What does LSU or Florida do now? What do they do? And so I think if you do get this passed, you're going to have to instantly fight for the schedule. You know, we talked earlier about Greg Sankey and some of the things he did or didn't do. One thing that I wish he would have fought for, but he doesn't seem to have the time for, I guess, why can't we fix this schedule that's a problem? Everybody in the country agrees that it's a problem, and there's no fight over it. There is zero fight around changing the schedule from nobody. Everybody is on board, and yet it's the one thing that they haven't touched that everybody agrees on. I don't really know how to feel about the Kiffin rule, because with the timelines and schedules of where around college football and the playoff, what do you do? I mean, the teams...
Wait. You just wait.
But you can't. You can't, because until you change the schedule, I don't know if coaches aren't going to quit. I'm going anyway. I'm sorry, but I don't believe that John Summerall.
If there's like a law in place that you can't do, if there's not a rule,
I went back.
That's not
what it said. It said that they can't go, or they're going to have to finish with their team. It didn't say that they can't hire them. That's not what's in there.
Yeah, so, but you're saying that why can't they just quit? There needs to be some sort of a restriction there.
It's one of the biggest issues hurting college athletics. You're looking at the ants through the whole forest. How about this? Change the schedule.
How much more are we supposed to move the schedule around the coaching carousel? We can only move it up so far.
Move it up? Why don't you move it back?
What do you mean move it back?
Why can't you move the portal? Why can't you move National Signing Day until after the season? It's the only thing that makes logical sense.
I don't think that the scheduling stuff needs to happen right this second. I think that the whole premise here, I think that the premise here is having the legislation in place allows for working on the schedule later. We got to go one thing at a time here.
What do you mean we don't have time to? There's nobody fighting on this.
But something like that's not going to fit in a bill. that is up to the NCAA needs power to be given to them to make decisions like that. They're waiting in order for something like this to go through in order to have more protection to make strong decisions like that. I think that that's a separate issue. I think that absolutely think that's something that needs to happen and will happen. They do need to move the transfer portal. They do need to move national sign day. And I think a lot of those things that has been brought up and discussed as options could realistically come to fruition. But the bigger problem to actually legitimately institute here, I think that there needs to be a clearer timeline of when a coach can leave their school.
I don't disagree with that, but when teams fire somebody, what do you want them to do?
Wait.
Okay.
What do you mean, what do you want them to do? Wait. Wait okay. until you can hire whoever you want to hire.
Okay, sounds good. And when their first recruiting class is there and they can't get one in, I don't want to hear shit from nobody talking about the schedule. I don't want to hear it. Not a peep, not a sound, not a word.
I would argue that this would be impactful for the sport because there is naturally a lot of blind aggressiveness with schools when it comes to hiring, where they'll throw a crap load of money at a big candidate. So instead of throwing a crap load of money rashly at a big candidate, looking at other options and being more willing to hire elsewhere and to look elsewhere and maybe to go with a little bit more of a conservative hire. Do you understand what I'm getting at here? Like, not everyone needs to spend a shitload of money on going and hiring Lane Kiffin. Not everyone needs to go and do that. Not everyone needs to throw a ton of money at the biggest candidate that's still in the playoff. I understand that Summerall was still in the playoff, but we knew that Summerall was done and out and was not going to be make it past the first round. That wasn't going to happen. Tulane was not going to win. But hiring a candidate that is still a really good candidate so that you can get him in the door sooner, I think that the NFL doesn't have issues with this. I understand that the NFL does not have the same calendar, but there's still technically to a degree a disadvantage to hire a coach right after the Super Bowl compared to if you hired somebody at the very beginning of the process.
Like what?
What do you mean like what? You've less time. There's multiple months of an advantage if you hire someone that's on a team that loses in the wild card compared to hiring somebody who...
Free agency in the draft's 2 months. It's 2 months after the Super Bowl.
Move that stuff after the fact. I'm not saying that those things need
point is, when you bring up, well, the NFL does this. Well, the NFL's got 2 months with their head coach to prepare of constructing a team after the fact that they get hired.
I'm not saying that it's identical to the NFL. And if anything, I think that that's just supporting that, yes, you should move the schedule. You should. But that's not going to appear in the legislation. I don't know. That's not going to appear in the legislation. It's just not going to.
What you just said is don't hire the best overall employee that you can get as a head coach for your institution.
No. If your priority is getting somebody in sooner, then hire somebody sooner. You don't have to spend a crap load of money on the biggest, best candidate on the market. It's backfired a lot recently.
This is what you're literally saying. You're saying that there's a dime that's top of the line, slim waist, cute face with a big behind, and she wants you, but you got to wait. But you can't wait because you just can't wait for whatever reason, okay? And then you want to go with a five who's got no money, drives a Prius, and you want her to date them.
But I'm not saying to do that. I'm saying that's a decision that schools have to make. Do you risk waiting or do you go with the safer option?
How about this? Here's an amendment. Why don't put this until you fix the calendar? Why is it called the Lane Kiffin rule to start off with?
Because Lane Kiffin's It's not a shot at Lane Kiffin. Because it's the most obvious extreme circumstance. Tulane wasn't getting to the Final Four. They weren't on the cusp of going to a national championship.
You didn't believe they were getting to the Final Four either. You picked them to lose.
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
okay.
There's nothing to do with the discussion. Like, again, why are you putting your weight? You're asking, whoa, we need to fix the schedule right now. The bill is on the table right now. It's getting presented now. So you're saying pull it until they fix the schedule?
Schedule's not getting fixed. If it doesn't get passed, you still got to fix it. But this is coming down the pipeline.
Joe, that what can is come next? Just because this is not included in the bill doesn't mean it can't come next.
I hope Marcus Freeman leaves for the NFL and you got to wait on a guy from the in the playoff and you're like, our recruiting class just
but
got
he wouldn't, But during the interview, what he's going to do.
You have no idea what the man's going to do. No,
when he interviewed with the Giants, that wasn't until way later.
Okay, but in December when it's done and the portal is open and moves are being made, and by the way, his entire roster, if he were to leave, can enter the transfer portal. And you're like, oh, God, well, we want Lane Kiffin, but Lane Kiffin's in the playoffs. And now you got to wait for the man. It makes zero sense. And because of the schedule is so messed up, teams have got to make moves.
The schedule's not getting changed right now, Blake. The schedule's not getting changed. It's not going to get changed.
You have political people who don't understand the sport. You cannot have this in there until that is changed.
That's the NCAA's responsibility to handle that after the fact. These are much larger issues that require national legislation. You're focusing on like a completely different problem that needs to be focused on a later date. Like, those things require a completely separate sit down and talk through of evaluating and deciding on.
Joe, really?
What do you mean, really?
It needs more evaluation and time to talk about. Well, then what are you waiting on? Because it's been a problem for 6 years.
It's taken years just to get to this point with this bill.
Okay. And guess what? They can change the calendar without the legislation of the government.
Okay, but this is why I don't understand why you're so hell-bent on this, is that...
Because...
That's not what we're talking about right now. Like, that's
I cover.
It can happen after this. This is this week.
The school that I cover just went through it, and in today's schedule, you can't do it. And you got two buffoons sitting in D.C. who don't even know what a three technique is, trying to tell me.
That doesn't have anything to do with this, Blake. The legislation can be separate from changing the schedule. You're like making this into this big thing.
Because you made the rule because of the schedule. They don't make the Lane Kiffin rule without the schedule.
You can make the Lane Kiffin rule and then change the schedule.
It's not there unless the schedule's not fucked up. Hello?
Okay, but Blake, if we fix the schedule and we move the things that you're talking about, if we move the things that you're talking about, we still need that rule. We still need that. Otherwise, coaches are just going to leave whenever they feel like it. And we're going to deal with the same exact thing. Coaches should not be able to do that, and they shouldn't do that. You shouldn't end up in the same circumstance.
Okay. Any other topics? Sorry for the language.
You're good. What do you want to get to next?
Poll rights.
The pooling of media rights, I think that is a complete joke. I don't think that in the best interest of the SEC and the Big Ten, it makes sense. Nor do I think that there's just no way that needs to be incorporated in all this, because it's in the best interest of all the other conferences, and it's not in the best interest of the Big Ten and the SEC. And it's almost kind of being done to deliberately piss off the Big Ten and the SEC.
Completely agree. They're never going to agree to that. You know what would be interesting? If the Big Ten and SEC did it together and said everybody else figure it out. You know, the only thought that I had, you know what can bring everybody together and in unity? Money. Money. If you want to do it and have an even playing field at the top, potentially, I don't like that. I don't think they need a pull. I think they both need to kind of go after it and slug fist, because I do worry. Here would be my worry of pulling rights. Then you're at, without a CBA, then you're at the behest of Fox, ESPN, CBS, and you're going to do what they tell you to do. You're going to do what they tell you to do. That would be the only reason why I would fight this at all. I don't think that they can do this. If there is something that will completely cripple the sport, it's that. Because if we're being honest, look at March Madness. I mean, for crying out loud. I mean, when they started pulling, the NCAA pulled its media rights for everybody in every conference, and they just kept expanding it and expanding it. It went from 64 to 68. Now it's at 72. Joe, at the end of this, when you and I are 55, 65, great, there's going to be 84 teams. You and I both know that. And so it comes to a place in time, too, where I look at this and say, I hope the one thing that the SEC and Big Ten do agree on is that this is dumb. Because I do worry about Fox, ESPN, CBS, whoever it is, pulling all together and say, well, we want more games for more money.
Well, the one thing that was brought up with this is that, I mean, you talked about how what could bring everybody together is more money. It was brought up in Ross's article that basically it's up to the other conferences to negotiate with the SEC and the Big Ten if they choose to pool rights and how that would ultimately fit together. So I think that it could end up working, but I find it hard to believe that the ACC and the Big 12 and the other conferences would willingly give a gigantic chunk to the other conferences. The only thing to your comment about the SEC and the Big Ten going and doing their own thing, this whole premise is trying to prevent that. The whole commentary was about how it was trying to preclude a super conference. It's trying to prevent a super conference from coming to fruition. So I think that that's like the one bit that we probably would end up getting shut down and would be prevented. But yeah, the pooling of media rights, I don't know if I feel comfortable with that. I don't know if that's as strong of a decision as many people make it out to be.
I just don't think it's going to happen. And I think it wouldn't stop it at 24. I think the portal, NIL, TV rev share, all of that, yes, you can say has put a hand in quote-unquote crippling the sport. By the way, can I ask a question? When people use the word crippling the sport from an NIL TV rights perspective, is it really? Because all of you are getting paid more money. I mean, the SEC is going to get $70-plus million this year. That's crippling to them. That's crippling. Per school, you're getting $70-plus million. That's crippling to you? I'm sorry. Spare me on that. With that part being said, if you do go in that direction, I do fear, Joe, that you get in a place where everything breaks loose and you talk about really crippling it, it would be that. Any thoughts on no super leagues?
Well, I mean, I think that we don't need.
That's pretty self-explanatory.
The one-time transfer rule, I've said this, I think that restricting and limiting that is the best just for kids in general. To be at one place at one time, you're going to develop better athletically. You're going to develop better as a young man if you're finishing your degree and you're not moving around constantly. These guys that have these graphics that have like six schools on it, I find it hard to believe that they've been able to like legitimately like learn how to be a productive, this is going to sound really critical, to be a productive member of society. You have to really learn how to go through adversity of not playing, of also like how to manage the relationships with guys in your team, all of those things, and also network and build relationships for your career after football. So I think that the transfer rule is also a big positive there.
I agree. However, I do think there needs to be some more provisions. I got to be blunt with you. I think if a position coach leaves, you should be able to do it.
That's a good point. That should be in there. I think that's a really good point.
Because you don't commit. Look, Joe. Okay, everybody talks about money. If your position coach leaves, like what are we and you're butting heads? Because here's the truth. New position coaches come in and play the guys that they want. And if you go to the portal or that coach goes to the portal and gets a guy and you lose playing time because of it, well, you told me I can only transfer once. So I got to be wisely to that. I got to be real with you. I don't really like it. I think there needs to be more provisions. If that doesn't happen, fine. You have a good baseline. But if a head coach or position coach leaves, I got to be real with you. I would put that in there. It's not going to be, but I don't. That would be my only adjustment to it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I like the premise that you have there with position coaches, because if anything, that's kind of sometimes more detrimental than a head coach leaving, because the guy who recruited you individually leaves, and then you got a new guy coming in who doesn't mess with you, doesn't like you that much. You could end up just wasting your time sitting, especially if you transfer already. I think it's a very good point.
I'm not going to go there. I was thinking of some Alabama players, you know, mm-hmm. like, hey, position coaches got moved on from, and like Lincoln Riley changed the whole defensive staff. Like, what happens then? What happens if, like, Brian Kelly fired his complete defensive staff? What then? He didn't move on from. He didn't get moved on from. I mean, you don't – I mean, people aren't really completely talking to the head coach. They're talking to position coaches in their DC or offensive coordinator, whatever it is. So I wish they would have put that in there. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get to this, too. Pete Golding had some statements, by the way, Joe. Oh, good Lord. He did exactly what we talked about on Monday. So Pete Golding talked with the media at SEC spring meetings. He instantly blamed LSU and TJ Dottery for the Luke Farelli news, saying that TJ Dottery was tampered with the entire time, all 3 years that he has been here, or was here, excuse me. He isn't necessarily admitting it here, but he would go on to say, well, everyone is doing it, and I'm going to expose the whole system. The last thing that Pete Golding says, that if the NCAA comes after me, I'm going to expose and go after the whole system. What are your thoughts on Pete Golding and some of his thoughts here about being investigated by the NCAA?
Dude, this is literally, as you just said, this is literally what we said on Monday.
It's exactly,
Sunday. What was that, Sunday or Monday?
Whichever one, whenever we talked about him, it's word for word exactly what we thought was going to happen has gone down here.
I understand what he's saying. I think it's a little bit of an extreme response, but it's exactly what we talked about. It was also brought up in Nakos' article that he apparently has the NCAA knows that he's willing to take down competitors, and it's up to 15 schools that he's willing to take down. So this whole concept that he's basically saying, if they pop me for what I'm being accused of, I will turn around and start firing shots at everybody else. I mean, this is not good for college football. His whole premise is, if you're going to make an example out of me, then everybody else is going to go down. This is the one bit with tampering that has been very complicated and frustrating, is that the minute that you try to go for one of them, everybody's going to start telling on each other. There's just going to be an endless circle of that person tampered, that person tampered, that person tampered, until everybody just gets back to the beginning chain. Pete Golding's going to start a reaction.
And Clemson's going to be the national champion because everyone's going to be on probation.
It'll be funny when we go full circle with all 138 teams, and then we're going to come back around, and it's going to be like, well, okay, well, Clemson tampered. And then it's just going to be a whole stupid process that we go through. This is the dumb part with all of this, is that Golding does have a point. And as much as it was severe and blatant, if he has that much evidence and he's not afraid to take others down into the grave with him, then I don't know if this is going to turn into anything. I think that the NCAA understands that they've got a problem on their hands, because if they start suspending people and dishing out fines, then we're not going to have much football being played. That's why I think that the punishment for this is probably just going to be a slap on the wrist fine. I think it'll probably be like just a random number, like a $50,000 fine. And then we'll probably see fines go across the board to random schools. And then this will be done. And then hopefully we don't have another situation like this in the future.
Two things don't make a right. So you can blame Lane for everything, but let me ask you this question. What happened with the four LSU players that you targeted? What happened with Carius Kern? What happened with JT Lindsey? What happened with players that left LSU with Frank Wilson and went to Ole Miss? So you know what Lane will come right back and come back and say? We wanted Kerryus Kern to stay. But he got tampered with by the interim head coach in Frank Wilson, and he went to Ole Miss. So now what? So now you have a he said, well, he did it first because Kerryus Kern, for what it's worth, went to the portal first. You know where Kerryus Kern went before TJ Dottery? Are you ready for it? Ole Miss. So if we want to pull out receipts, let's pull out some receipts. Kerryus Kern told LSU and Lane Kiffin that he was entering the portal and following Frank Wilson. Frank Wilson was on the sidelines for a playoff game for Ole Miss. So was Austin Thomas. TJ Dottery was still playing. So how is that even plausible? How is that even plausible? Pete Golding is dry snitching. He's snitching. Whether we want to say this or not, he's dry snitching. He's going, you remember the whole Friends episode? This is probably a little bit before your time, but Chandler's got a third nipple and he starts telling everybody secrets. And he's like, if I'm going down, everybody's going with me. Shout out to Matthew from Friends. He played Chandler on Friends.
Yeah, Matthew Berry.
Matthew Berry, who God bless him, rest him, and all of that. Mm-hmm. But he says in there, if I'm going down, everybody's going with me. What else is going on here? You're dry snitching. You cheated. And so your thing is, well, they did it to me, so I'm going to go do it to somebody else. Just because someone did it to you, does it make it right? I feel like I'm in grade school. I feel like I'm in Bible study right now and vacation Bible school learning. Just because someone did something to me, I should turn the other cheek and wear it versus what the coaches are doing and say, well, I'm just going to go and tamper. So if we want to pull out receipts, Frank Wilson was on your playoff staff. Players from LSU were going to Ole Miss, and you're talking about TJ Dottery? So who threw the first punch? So you can go out there and blame Lane, which wasn't, by the way, the only thing he said about Lane today. Everybody keeps saying Lane keeps talking about Ole Miss. Really? This is the fourth statement in 2 days that Pete Golding has had against Lane Kiffin. So here's the truth. The NCAA needs to grow some balls. They got to grow some balls. Somebody's got to go down. We're not here to, you, if I'm the NCAA, I'm coming out and saying, we don't care about what everybody else did. And I would put out a statement saying, today, there's a new day and era in college athletics. You can't do this. Enough is enough. You can't have a kid on a campus signed in classes, and while he's in a class, you text him, he re-enters the portal and goes there. You can't do it. You can't do it. And so the bottom line is, Joe, we keep saying that everybody's tampering, but you know what we don't have? What we don't have is this. We don't have a player in class and a head coach texting him saying how much to buy you out. We don't have that. So you can say, and we can all talk about tampering. Okay, that's fine. But name another player outside of Luke Farrelly. You can not name Darian Mensa, but name another player that didn't go to Miami, nevertheless, that it's been this blatant.
Well, I just don't know if we... I just don't know if we're aware of anything else that has happened. Like, I think that this ended up becoming so public. The Darian Mensa situation was obvious because of the timing. And he had to break out of his contract. The Dabo situation ends up being so public because he's always been holier than thou, and he's always going to try and make it seem like he's an enormous, gigantic victim. So as much as I agree with you that the NCAA does need to just say, you know what, we don't care what else you're going to tell us and whatever evidence you present to us, and that somebody has to get punished to be made an example of, and they should just move on, I do worry that this would create a gigantic chain reaction. The NCAA knows full well that it's happening across the board.
Oh, of course.
I think that they need to tread lightly. I think that... here's the biggest key with all this. whatever punishment that they hand down has to be the precedent. It just has to be simply, this is the precedent. This is what we're doing. And I personally don't think that it should be, the more that we've kind of learned more about the situation, I don't think it should be a significant punishment. I think it should be monetary. Just move on.
You understand what happens. You understand what happens if you only slap them on the wrist, though.
They're going to keep doing it. But, Blake, we can't go around suspending coaches, because if Pete Golding gets suspended, then 90% of the coaching universe at Power Four is going to be suspended.
Yeah. You know what the funny thing about that is in our society? I have two thoughts about that. 50% of drivers on the road, on the highway in the United States of America are under the influence. Not even 1% go to jail for it. And I get what you're saying. It doesn't mean that other people aren't doing it, but we got to have guidelines and rails. And I'm going to tell you, you say it's going to stay the same. No, it won't. It will get worse.
If you mean somebody who's driving drunk, though, that they don't have the capability to go around tattling on other drunk drivers because they don't know who else is driving drunk because they're in their car.
You get my it. Don't
I fight. Get your point, but it, no, I'm not trying to fight with you on this, but I don't think it's a good example.
Okay, everybody speeds. You can rat on people. You can get their driver's license and say, this guy passed me on the highway. You 1,000% can do that. Change the scenario to whatever you want. But if you set that as a precedent and it's only a $50,000 fine, you ramp it up even more. Because if I only have to pay a $50,000 fine and I can go tamper with a top player at any school in America while he's enrolled in classes and nothing's going to come of it, I'm going to do it even more because there are no guardrails now. There aren't really any guardrails right now, but if you tell me that nothing's going to happen to me, I will remind you. You know what this reminds me of? The Nico Iamalava situation. Oh, well, you can't really do that. You can't really do that. And then when you let it pass and nothing comes of it, all hell breaks loose.
Okay, but the thing is, though, is that if you dish a major punishment to Ole Miss, like a serious aggressive punishment.
I didn't say major.
A stronger punishment than what I suggested. If you don't follow up and then deliver the same punishment to all the other schools that are caught doing the same exact thing, and then everybody starts providing evidence, then you're going to look, I would argue that you would look far more powerless than if you tried to make an example of one individual school, because Pete Golding would go up in arms and probably... I mean, he's already speaking out quite publicly in such a short amount of time. This was pretty candid what he said.
Agreed.
The NCAA would look really stupid if he publicly, he then can make an example of the NCAA by showing, this is everything I presented to them, and they told me it doesn't matter, kick rocks. We're making you the sacrificial lamb in this circumstance. I agree with what you're saying, that like just because one person does something wrong does not justify it happening across the board. I do think punishments should be handed out. I don't think that you could just turn a blind eye and then move on from all this. But I think that to a degree, you have to tread lightly. You can't, like, suspensions can't be on the table here.
I never said suspend him. You know what you can
do? I know you're not. I'm just saying in general.
But you can take recruiting hours away and restrict them in recruiting. You committed a recruiting violation.
Then the new standard is that there's going to be less recruiting hours for every single football program.
Okay, fine. But you know what? I thought you were going to go at this angle by saying, well, we paid a buyout Darian Mensah. If you want to be honest, the Lane Kiffin situation isn't the thing that he should have attacked. The Darian Mensah thing is what he should have attacked if you did indeed do a buyout, as you stated on Monday. So you're just dry snitching on Lane, even though you threw the first punch. So, I mean, it is what it is. You can't keep letting people get away with it. You just can't let people keep getting away with it. All right. Couple of super chats here. Trojan Fight says, thoughts on the SEC Cupcake weekend ending. Here's my thoughts on it. The Big Ten has it in the beginning of the year in all three non-conference games.
Hold on. Did you look? I think that the moving of this weekend, I don't think that any conference should play G5 FCS opponents at the end of the year when you're in a title hunt. It has always bothered the crap out of me when there's all this build up, and then boom,
We have to watch Austin Peay versus Alabama. I like the drama of November. November has the opportunity to be the most drama-filled month. Do this in October. Do this in the second or third week of September. I don't think that there's anything wrong with this. And as I said earlier, lead by example. I think that if the SEC has the opportunity to lead by example instead of complaining about what other conferences are doing, I think that they could be better off for the future. But that is a rabbit hole that we already went down at the beginning of the show.
You know who Notre Dame plays in the last month of the season?
Who do they play in the second to last week of November?
It's not what I asked you.
They play Navy. They play Navy, but that is, it's a little different. That's a long-standing historical rivalry that
So is LSU versus Tulane. Why are you telling me that they can't play that?
I'm not saying that they can't play that. They just play it the second to last week of November.
What the SEC is saying. The history is the second to last week in November.
Notre Dame should move that game then. Notre Dame shouldn't play that game in November.
They technically play it on Halloween, but it is technically.
Then I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Joe is right. If you want a big name, you should have to wait. If you want to save your next class, hire someone else. You should be able to get Lane, but you have to sacrifice your class. You can't have both. I don't disagree with what Joe's saying, but at the same time, there's an easy fix that doesn't need legislation.
I don't disagree with that, but at the same time, that doesn't need legislation. You're right. So let the legislation go through.
But why can't you change the schedule first? Why does the NCAA have to wait for the
legislation? Is someone going to do it this week? Is someone going to change it this week? Like, I don't. This is happening now.
First and foremost, this is how bills in the Senate get passed. This probably wouldn't get enacted until 2028.
Okay, but let the legislation go through, and then we can move on, and then we can address that later.
But why can't you do it now? Because it's already a problem. Let's say
I think that they're a little busy right now trying to focus this week. So when are they supposed to do this? Tomorrow they need to fix the schedule?
Yes. What is the NCAA busy with? Please tell me.
This legislation.
They did nothing.
This legislation.
They did nothing. They did nothing in the legislation. They literally did nothing. Cruz did all of the legwork along with all of the other senators. They did nothing.
I'm not saying that they were the ones who were aggressively involved with the implementation of this, but
they haven't even come out with a statement about it.
Because I'm sure that they're evaluating.
Evaluate these nuts. Okay. Alex with a $5 suit jet says, they took my player, so I'm going to cheat. He's talking about Pete Golding. Punish them. Ron White, I was drunk in a bar. They threw me into the public. Arrest them. That's basically what Pete sounds like. I agree. I mean, he cheated. And in about 10 minutes, I'm going to come out here and dry snitch on him. So if you want to hear some deep dry snitching, come over to AYS in 10 minutes.
All right.
He's not wrong. He's 1,000% right. T. Walker says, this shows how good Ferrelli is. You can't bring up losing a player unless he's a dog. Would you bring up losing Whit Weeks or Gabe Relaford? Well, Carius Kern was the best interior offensive lineman in the recruiting class. You lost arguably one of the best offensive linemen in the country. Georgia went after him like nobody's business. They did lose a high caliber player that they desperately needed. So, like, what are we talking about here? By the way, they had a running back on their roster when JT Lindsey committed. A running back. So let's not go there. Please don't go there with me.
Luke Ferrelli is a really good player, though.
He is a really good player. And I thought TJ Dottery sucked. That's what Ole Miss fans tell me. So if he sucked, you got an upgrade. Why are you so mad about it? All right.
Good point.
Seattle, I almost said tomorrow. What's today?
Wednesday, Sunday.
See y'all Sunday. Talk in peace.